This is the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I don't know how to love him. Can you picture the feet of Jesus for a moment? This is a man who walked all around Israel and Judea. A man who walked miles and miles. Probably not in great fancy Nikes. Not in good, cushiony, arch-supporting shoes, but one who walked in sandals or barefoot. The feet of Jesus, after miles of walking, would have been calloused, worn. The toes mangled, perhaps, swollen and blistered. As he comes into the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, they are there to celebrate him, to give a dinner for him. And Mary looks at him as he reclines at the table and sees this man that she loves and is so grateful for. When I see this image of the scriptures, I can't help but see the image of Mary and Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar. As Mary there tends to a weary and worn Jesus who has just come from the crowds of the people celebrating him and needing him. Needing him where his power is going out from him continually, needing him after 3 hard years of ministry and giving, giving, giving. And in this moment, she just sees this tired, tired man. She sings, "I don't know how to love him, but rest. Everything will be all right." In a moment of inspiration, she takes something that she had kept for a special day. Without even thinking about it, this ointment, this nard, that fragrance of it, the thing that she had bought and purchased and stored for a day of burial, comes off the shelf. Because what is burial anymore? Lazarus, her brother, they had buried him, anointed him, and out of the tomb Jesus had called him. What even was it for anymore? But this moment of inspiration strikes, and she reaches for this costly, expensive, heavy ointment and brings it to bear on his hurting, hurting feet. Mary sings, "Everything's All right. Let the world turn without you tonight. She sees Jesus bearing a burden that she cannot bear with him. But she thinks to herself, I can bear his worn and swollen feet in my hands. I can caress them and massage them. I can work some oil into them so that the skin doesn't crack as much and that it's a little more supple and alive. I can use even my own hair to clean them. And in this act of love, tending to his feet, Mary does something that perhaps inspires Jesus, perhaps loves him for this moment into being. Loves him into the work that he has set before him. Because he is bearing a heavy burden. He's been tending to all the crowds and healing all of the people. Yes. And walking ever closer to Jerusalem, where he has already told his disciples, I go there to face my death. And on this night, 6 days before the Passover, on this week when he will face his arrest and his death, Mary tends to him. Now Judas doesn't like what he sees. He's put off by it. In the play, in the movie, Jesus Christ Superstar, he's offended by it. He followed Jesus in order to be a part of a social revolution. He cares about the systems of inequality in the world. He cares about the systems that keep the poor poor. And this giving to Jesus, this tending to him with so much extravagance, just twists him up inside. And Judas asks Jesus, aren't the poor worth more than your feet? Aren't the poor worth more than your feet? And Jesus says, you always have the poor with you, but I will not be. And this night when Jesus rests from the world, from the crowds that have needed him, rests and lingers at the table and lets Mary do this grand act of love. Jesus is resting. And foreshadowing the rest that will happen on the next Sabbath, the rest and the quiet that will occur the next time the Sabbath rolls around, when his body will no longer be breathing but will be lying cold and silent in a tomb. Mary tends to him, gives him permission to rest tonight, loves him into being. In this moment, Mary is an exemplar, as she often is, for the spiritual person, for the creative person. She's fully present in this moment. This moment tonight is all that matters. As she who has sat at Jesus' feet to learn from him and to pray with him, she takes this moment, this night of inspiration and act, and responds in this intense encounter, surrendering her plans, opening herself to the Spirit and the inspiration of what feels right in this moment, and then deeply following that to this love and engagement with the mystery that she is now anointing Jesus with the oil of death. What does that even mean? It's mystery. She falls into it. She loves into it. She leans into it, sopping it up all of that mysterious wonder into the fibers of her own very hair. A few days later, Jesus, perhaps in a memory of this act of love, perhaps with the memory of this act of love right now, that Mary is washing his feet, tending to them with her own love, he is going to take off his outer robe, put on a towel around his waist, and bring out a basin of water, and also wash the feet of his disciples. Mary prefigures that act of love. That act of love that then becomes an act that Jesus tells us all to do as I have done for you. Fred Rogers famously asked the question, who loved you into being? Tonight, at the table of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, it was their love. And Judas cries about the problems of the world, and Jesus acknowledges the problems of the world are there. They'll always be. The devil still has control over the human heart so many days out of the week. The problems of the world will always be there as long as we struggle until the final reconciliation at the end of all things, and yet you will not always have me. Nor do we always have each other. Our own mortal bodies are always changing, always breaking down, it seems. God is always about to do a new thing with us. Beautiful like growth and hard like aging or injury, illness or death. We get to share this life only for a moment, and the people we share it with are here only for a moment, and sometimes that moment is suddenly up. Do you know how to love those in your own life? Often I wonder if I do. And I sing with Mary, I don't know how to love them. I don't know how to love them. I want to. I want my kids to know how much I love them. And when I hug them, they squirm and say, ugh, stop. I want to love my wife and let her know how much I love her. And yet, still, we get into fights and bickering over all sorts of things. I want to love my parents. And yet, do I call them enough? Do we connect? I want to love my neighbor, but she's kind of annoying, and I try to avoid her sometimes. Sometimes we don't know how to love those who are close to us. We don't know how to love God either sometimes. I mean, how do we love the one who has created us and everything in this world? How do we properly return the love of the one who has even suffered death on a cross for us? The one who loves and rescues us and always gives us a new chance. Always gives us another chance to start over and to hear that word of love again. How do I love him? Sometimes I don't know. And the intimacy of that love makes me worry and step back from it, not sure how to engage with it. And so maybe I stay away from prayer, or I stay away from creating and just fill my life with consumption and avoid that spiritual moment of encounter that comes, that inspiration that comes when I let myself out. And yet tonight, at the table of Lazarus, as Mary, in a moment of inspiration, takes this fragrant perfume and anoints Jesus' feet with extravagant love, she leads our way and says, "We may not know how to love them, but love them anyway. Create anyway, pray anyway. Pour yourself into that love. Sop it up with your own bodies. Don't be afraid to be extravagant with your love." That's what this experience of life is all about. So let us love anyway, and let our love be as extravagant as hers. Amen. Thank you.